Take your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians. We're going to get into a text today. How many ways are there to God? That seems to be kind of the trend that takes place. That it really doesn't matter what you believe in, just so that you believe, right? You can be this religion, or you can be that religion. You can have this philosophy, you can have that philosophy. It doesn't matter what you believe in, just believe. What I call the Peter Pan syndrome. You know, you remember that in Peter Pan, when Tinkerbell gets knocked out by the cannonball, and Peter's like, just believe, just believe. You know, I don't know if you've ever been on a road and going someplace and you have a map and you try to get there and you think you know where you're going, but you don't. Christy and I have had those moments, and she says, you know where you're going, and I will say, yes, I do. Her first response to me has always been, have you been there before? No, but I know where I'm going this time. And be lost. And then the pride comes in, and she's like, call them and ask them where they live. I'm like, no, I'm almost there. You know, finally, she wins, I call, we get there. So, but see, that's the way most people are with their religion, isn't it? If I just hold on to my religion, I'm okay. And at that moment when I pass, I will come into the hands of the God that I have worshipped through my religion. But is it the right God? We've been talking about the idea of the non-negotiables of the Christian faith. That if you're truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that these are the five things that we will not compromise on. And we've said them: Scripture alone, grace alone, that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Today, Christ alone. Next week, faith alone. Then in 2 weeks after that, to the glory of God alone. That's what unites us as believers in Christ. Now, we have our own particular understanding and application of that in our systematic theologies, our doctrines, and all of that. But what really matters are those five things. And in particular, if you notice, they all kind of lead up to this one here in the middle. You see, it is God's word that declares God's plan. This work that Christ accomplished for you and me to be forgiven of our sin and to be reconciled with God, the creator of all things, was purposed, literally planned before time. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5 says that we were chosen in him before the foundations of the world. So before he even said, let there be, the plan of salvation was already thought through. Think about that. The third sola in the five is what the scripture declares, that our salvation would be accomplished and accomplished through one person and one person alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other way into the presence of God except through him and through what he has done and is doing for us. Christ, and Christ alone. And we're going to hit this very hard this morning because it is the most important of the five. Your existence here today It's because of Jesus Christ. Your relationship with God is a reality because of Jesus Christ. And your eternal destiny has been settled because of Jesus Christ. Christ and Christ alone. Let me explain it to you this way. In Colossians, it says that Christ is the creator of all things. Verse 15, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Let me explain something to you. Before anything came to an existence, and I'm talking even heaven itself, there existed the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And they existed in perfect harmony, a perfect relationship. And for their glory, for their pleasure, they called into existence all that there is, everything, everything visible, everything invisible. They created the heavens that we look to, where He exists from His throne, ruling sovereignly over all things. He created the universe and everything within the universe in such a way that in the center, philosophically, not literally, but in the center was this planet called Earth. And everything is situated within the universe so that this little planet would produce from this planet life. And it is the life that takes place in this planet that allows us to exist. David wrote, and I've quoted this so many times, when I consider the things that you have created, God, the sun, the moon, the stars. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you take such great thought in him? This place was created because of God's great love so you could exist. Everything that happens has its effects for our existence. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth. For through Him all things are created, and for Him they are created. He is the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Trinity itself is what brought all things to be. And that is what makes sin so difficult to understand. First and foremost, because we don't exist without Jesus. We don't. And not only did Adam and Eve reject Him, you have too. I have. This world has. Every generation since Adam and Eve have rejected Christ and rejected Him by rejecting His design, by not living according to His good pleasure, for by Him and for Him. That's what sin is, isn't it? Sin is not the things we do. What we do is because we've rejected what he desires for us. Here's the sad part, going back to the garden. They had everything, did they not? They had everything except one piece of fruit. And so they turned their backs on the Christ, the creator of all things. You see, this is why Jesus and Jesus alone is the only way to God. The second one is, reason is, because Christ is the Savior. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's a thing going around that's trying to, in a sense, neutralize the effects of the cross or understand the effects of the cross. Let me tell you right now, the cross did one thing and one thing alone. It was the death of Jesus Christ that satisfied the wrath of God so that God's mercy may flow in our hearts. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. There is no forgiveness without death. There is no forgiveness without Jesus, the perfect Son of Man, dying for our sin. Without his death, we are forever under the dominion of darkness. But now, we have been transferred, given a new residence, a new existence, reconciled with our Creator for all eternity. Into the kingdom of his beloved Son, you and me, under his kingship, a benevolent kingship, a desired kingship, one that cares for his citizens, one that loves, and here it is, us, sons and daughters of the Most High God, his brothers and sisters. That's who we are. Because he is our Savior, the condition has been satisfied, and the fruit has been freely extended to all who believe. He is also, Christ is the mediator between heaven and earth. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in the body of his flesh by his death in order to present you, here it is, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, God the Father. He's at work in our hearts, is he not? Day by day, moment by moment, Christ is changing us. He's transforming us. We are being molded in his image, not just strictly as we follow his example, but literally as we submit to the Holy Spirit and allow that work to transform us. We are no longer the same. We are different. We are who God has created us to be and more. And it is coming progressively. We're not there, but we're getting there. We're getting there. I used to tell the kids up at the church I came from, every day I'm one day closer to Jesus. Right? Every day I'm one day closer to Jesus. And then Christ, this is why only Christ, because Jesus is the coming King. Turn to Revelation 19. This is what the whole book of Revelation leads to. The end of history. The establishment of the eternal kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. And this is what will happen on that day. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Logos, the Word of God." Logos, Theos. "And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen and white and pure, were following him on white horses." Let me say something about that real quickly. You ever notice they're not in battle array? They're not in armor. They're not carrying shields or swords. They're in white linen. Pure, holy. This is not a battle that the angels will engage in. This is not a battle that we will stand and fight with. We are on a victory march. This is a coronation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are following behind him to establish his kingdom, his throne, his dominion. And there's only one person that's fighting the battle, and that's the man on the white horse. "And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has name written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all of the birds that fly directly overhead, 'Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great.'" Understand this. Those who are not with Jesus, they are against Jesus, and judgment day comes. And it's not pretty. You're either with him or you're not. And if you're not, your blood will be spilled. Your eternal destiny is forever lost. Death. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who were sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophets, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and the things who worshipped the image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from his mouth, of him who was sitting on the horse, and all of the birds were gorged with their flesh." Understand what that's going to look like. He's the coming king. Only Jesus. No other ruler on this earth will rule beyond their time. It is Christ who not only rules in time, it is Christ who will rule when time is no more. I want you to take note. It wasn't like this in the bulletin, but I want you to take note of this. In the course of this message, I want you to notice, I didn't say that Christ is a way to God the Father. Didn't say that. As if he's one among many. He's not. I didn't say even this, even though it's where it's written in your notes. I didn't mean that. That Christ is my way. Or that Christ is our way. Somehow, some way saying there might be some other way. No. Jesus Christ is the way. The one and only way to God. Let me tell you what that means. And sadly, we've kind of been inoculated with this. We proclaim this, but we hope it's not true. You know why? And I appreciate this. I do. But it's wrong. We think it's going to be okay. We think, that person, that relative, that friend, that son, that daughter, that mother, father, that, we think, it'll be okay. It's going to be okay. Somehow, some way, they'll make it. No, they won't. You better be on your knees and praying for their hearts to change. You need to be weeping, shedding tears because of what they are going to be suffering. You better plead with all of your soul, come to Jesus, because eternity will be filled with nothing but grief and pain and heartache for them. Not for a period of time. There is no purgatory. There is no working it off. It's either now or it's never. It's this life or no life. There's only one road. That road is Jesus.